Ben & Jerry's ice cream has joined other top brands in calling out police brutality, and it's clear where they stand. It's the business news headlines for Wednesday, the third day of June. Thanks for being with us, everybody. If the economy is roaring back to life, what's with American Express? Walmart has pulled guns and ammo off of its store shelves. Meanwhile, we've got a story on why people loot. Yet another retailer warns of a pending closure. We'll check the markets, and a new decision from Snap puts the president at odds with yet another social media company. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, T-E-R-O.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and yeah, you can follow us on Twitter. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream has come out with a forceful policy regarding what they are calling systemic police brutality. The ice cream maker has called on Americans to, quote, dismantle white supremacy, end quote, and, quote, grapple with the sins of our past, end quote, as nationwide protests against racial injustice stretch into their eighth day. The call, posted on the company's website, describes the death of George Floyd, an unarmed black man, at the hands of a white police officer as the result of what they're calling inhumane police brutality that is perpetuated by a culture of white supremacy. Here's what else it said. What happened to George Floyd was not the result of a bad apple. It was the predictable consequence of a racist and prejudiced system and culture that has treated black bodies as the enemy from the beginning, end quote. The company is owned by Unilever. Companies including Nike, Netflix, Twitter, Disney, Facebook, and Intel have condemned racism and injustice in recent days. But the statement from Ben & Jerry's is unusually comprehensive and direct, addressing the historical roots of discrimination in the United States and calling out systemic racism while advocating specific policies to prevent further police abuses and redress racial inequality. You can see the statement. All you have to do is Google BenJerry.com. While the stock market had another great day, it is American Express that's worried about another round of job losses. Here's that story. Amex CFO said today the company is uncertain that massive job cuts are going to be coming back in the near future. To that end, the firm has pulled back on adding new credit card customers because it can't get a clear picture of consumers' financial health and employment trends. American Express itself committed to making no job cuts this year as it worked through the impact of the coronavirus pandemic, which has sapped consumer spending and forced the company to increase its loan loss reserves. Campbell says the company is basing these concerns on the fact that the time period that major companies had to cease job cuts is fast approaching. Today, Walmart said it shifted firearms and ammunition out of the sales floors of some U.S. stores due to the nationwide protests. The nation's largest retailer said those items are still for sale, but are now located in a secure area of the store. Walmart, which stopped selling ammunition for handguns and some assault-style rifles here in its U.S. stores, does not sell firearms in many of the major urban markets experiencing issues during looting. Several retailers, from Target, Apple, to high-end apparel brands, have been looted and damaged as protesters turned violent in places including New York and Chicago, forcing them to reduce store hours or even close shop. Meanwhile, The Atlantic has an interesting story out today about why folks loot. You and I have seen the footage from many different cities in the United States as peaceful protests turn into rock-throwing and looting of stores. And it is that looting that keeps many people from endorsing the protests. Police leaders generally agree that only a small percentage of the protesters are looting, but the practice is still undeniably widespread. This week, a group of people cleaned out stores across Lower Manhattan, stuffing shoes and electronics into garbage bags. Earlier, looters destroyed a Minneapolis Target and swept designer jeans out of boutiques in Los Angeles. So why do people loot? Well, interviews with a half dozen experts on protests and social movements provide some insights into looters' motivations. For one thing, looters and peaceful protesters aren't typically the same. Diana Fisher is a sociologist at the University of Maryland, and she has studied protests for 20 years. And she says it's rare for peaceful protesters to start stealing and setting fires at random. Now, for those in the looting group, they also have varied motivations. In their 1968 study, sociologists Russell Dines and E.L. Quantrelli note that vandalism during protests focuses on objects and buildings that are symbolic of other values. For example, people are more likely to attack symbols of authority, like the CNN building or police cars, than apartment buildings. In this way, some of the looting is lashing out against capitalism, the police, and other forces that are seen as perpetuating racism. Others say that looters tend to be poor, and some see it as a chance to balance the scales, to get things they normally can't. During the current protests, the opportunist appeal to looting might be exacerbated by the fact that people across the country have been ordered to stay inside for months in an effort to limit the spread of the coronavirus. The protests might have seemed to some like a release valve. Others, meanwhile, see looting as a form of empowerment, a way to reclaim dignity after decades of abuse at the hands of police and other authorities. It is an interesting and comprehensive article, and you can find it in The Atlantic. Yet another retail chain is talking about a possible closure. New York and company parent RTW Retail Wins today warned about its ability to continue as a going concern, saying it might be prepared to file Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection because of the hit by the COVID-19 crisis. Should RTW Retail Wins file for bankruptcy, it would join a growing list of retailers that have been pushed to the brink during the pandemic, as so-called non-essential retailers' stores were temporarily forced to close. So far, that list of companies that have filed Chapter 11 include department store chains Neiman Marcus, JCPenney, and Stage Stores, home goods retailer Tuesday Morning, and apparel brand J. Crew. RTW Retail Wins currently operates more than 385 retail and outlet locations in 33 states. The company also said it may be in default under a loan agreement with Wells Fargo. Better-than-expected economic reports drove the markets higher today. Yeah, well, we've just listed off a whole bunch of other negative things, right? What did happen? Well, the Dow jumped 527 points, or 2.1%, to close at 26,269. The S&P 500 gained 1.4% to end the day at 31.22, while the NASDAQ advanced 0.8 to 96.82. Today's gains led the Dow to a three-day winning streak, while the S&P 500 notched its first four-day winning streak since early February. And the positive economic news that fueled the rally today? Well, how about this? ADP and Moody's Analytics reported private payrolls fell by another 2.7 million in May. Now, the ADP number was far less than the 8.7 million estimate. The reason for the wide disparity was not immediately clear. Data from the Institute for Supply Management showed that the U.S. services sector contracted less than expected, rebounding from an 11-year trough. And finally, there is this. Today, Snap said it no longer is promoting President Trump's posts within Snapchat's Discover feature. CEO Evan Spiegel announced the move in a memo to employees, which was also published on the Snap website. Spiegel's memo included a great deal of context about the history of racial inequity in terms of both policing and economic opportunity, and he said that divisive people may be allowed to maintain accounts on Snapchat so long as the content is consistent with its community guidelines, but that Snap will not promote those accounts. Spiegel wrote, quote, "We simply cannot promote accounts in America that are linked to people who incite racial violence, whether they do so on or off our platform," end quote. Snap's move follows a decision by Twitter last week to begin adding content warning labels to some of Trump's tweets, including one containing inaccurate claims about mail-in voting and another with a reference to looting and shooting protesters. In response, Trump signed an executive order last week intended to tightly regulate social media firms that he contends are biased. Legal experts doubt the enforceability of the order, however. Yesterday, the Center for Democracy and Technology, a civil liberties group focused on tech, sued to block the order on First Amendment grounds. Well, that's a wrap to today's business news headlines. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us associated with this daily project, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful, and most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.